Chapter 16, A Chip Off the Old Block. Once on the TV, this dude hypnotized a lobster. Maybe you saw it. He touches a lobster and it freezes. It can't move. That's sort of what happens to me when his hand clamps over my mouth. Like I'm paralyzed and my head is empty. And all there is in the world is that big hand and this cool breath like the wind. So this is where the geezers stuck you, huh? He whispers. Down in the basement? Out of sight? Out of mind? I still can't see his face. He's this huge shape in the room. Everything changes now, he says. It's time I got to know my own son, who had his mind poisoned against me. He makes me sit up and shushes me to make sure I won't make any noise. Making noise is the last thing I want to do, because I don't know whether or not Grimm ever bought that gun he mentioned or what might happen to him if he tries to use it. Graham's bad dream about Grimm getting shot with his own gun seems pretty real right now, and I don't want to be the one to make it come true. I know what they told you, he says. It's all a big lie, you understand? I never killed anybody, and that's the truth, so help me God. By now, I'm sitting up on the bed and he's making me put on my clothes. And the weird thing is, none of this is a surprise. Somehow, I always knew that this would happen, that he would come for me in the night and that I would wake up to find him there filling the room and that I'd feel empty. I'm so weak I could hardly put on my shoes. Like when you wake up and your arm is still asleep and you can hardly make it move, that's what I feel like all over, numb and prickly. And as light as a balloon. Like my hands might float up in the air if I let them. This will be an adventure, he says. You're going to have the time of your life, boy, okay? We're leaving and not a peep out of you. The bulkhead door is open and you can see the stars. Some people think the stars look close enough to touch. But Freak says the sky is like a photograph from a billion years ago. It's just some old movie they're showing up there and lots of those stars have switched off by now. They're already dead. And what we're seeing is the rerun, which makes sense if you think about it. Someday the rerun will come to an end and you will see this, all the stars start to flick off. Like a billion little flames blown out by the wind. This way, he says, quiet as a mouse. There's snow on the ground. Not a lot. Enough to cover the ground, though. I can tell how cold the air is, but I can't feel it, even without a jacket, which I didn't have time to put on. The cold doesn't matter. Nothing does, really. Not Grimm and Graham, or the old stars in the sky, or Freak, or the fair Gwen. They're all just make-believe this dream I was having for a long time. And now I'm awake again, and he's filling the room somehow, even though we're outside. The lights are out at Freak's house, and I'm thinking, the stars clicked off, and I don't even know why I'm thinking that. It's like a dead voice in my head or something. We're under a streetlight when he says, let me look at you. He's got these big eyebrows that make it hard to see his eyes. And that's fine. I don't want to see them. Looking at those eyes is asking to have a bad dream. My, my, he says, checking me out. Will you look at this? It is like I'm looking at an old picture of myself. You really are a chip off the old block. You know that? I don't say anything, and he reaches out and touches my face. Real gentle, as if he'd never heard a fly. I say, boy, do you know that? Answer me now. Yes, sir, I say. Everybody says so. Christmas Eve, he says. You know how many Christmas Eves I've been deprived of my own blood kin? Now, is that fair to do that to a man? Lock him up for a crime he never did? He's waiting for me to answer, and I say, no, sir, not fair. That's over and done now, he says. We're starting fresh. Just you and me, boy. That's how it's meant to be. I'm standing there under the streetlight, and it's amazing how quiet it is. Like everybody went away or died. The quiet is almost as big as he is. He's as tall as me, only wider everywhere. And for some reason, maybe because we're not far from Freak's house, I'm thinking this weird thought. He doesn't need a suit of armor. No, and he doesn't need a horse or a lance. Or a pledge to the king, or the love of a fair lady. He doesn't need anything except for what he is. He's everything all rolled into one, and no one can ever beat him, not even the brave Lancelot. He's squinting around, his eyebrows are furrowed shadows, and he says, You know what I think of when I see the neighborhood like this? Hamsters, is what I think. That's how these people live, like hamsters in cages. They have their little wheels to run on, and that's what they do for the whole of their lives. They run, and they get nowhere. They just spin. I stand there. They poisoned you against me. I know that, he says. Give it time. You'll see the truth. He starts walking fast, and I go with him, like my feet already know where to go. We're cutting through the side streets and heading down to the pond. All the cold and the white and the frozen. Tomorrow morning, a bunch of kids will take their new sleds and skates out there and probably lose all their new mittens and scarves and get yelled at by their moms and dads. But tonight, the pond is as empty as the moon, as empty as my head. Once a car goes by real slow around the pond, and I've got the strange feeling there's no one at the wheel. He hooks his finger in my shirt collar and makes me duck down until the car goes by. The car passes, and you can't see through the dark windows, and you can hear the snow crunch under the tires, squeaky and frozen. We're invisible, he says, making me stand up. Now, isn't that a kick in the pants? My feet already know where we're going, the New Testaments. There's a few lights on in the old building, and you can see some of the windows are cracked, and it looks like a knife cutting against the light, he says. And he is saying, you know about Mary and Joseph and how they sought shelter in Bethlehem and how the baby Jesus was born in a manger? I try to nod, and the funny thing is, even though I'm not cold, my teeth are chattering, so it's like the rest of me is freezing, but my head hasn't noticed. That's what we're doing, seeking shelter, he says, except for this isn't exactly a manger we're going to. No, sir, I say, it sure isn't. He touches me real soft on the back of the neck and says, I didn't ask you a question, boy. Rule number one, don't sass your old man. I make sure my mouth stays shut. We're coming up on the testaments, and they look almost pretty with the new snow coating the roofs and making the yards clean and white and soft. You can see where an old bike handlebar is coming up through the snow, and shapes of the other things are left out, and even the old car up on blocks looks new, like it might take off into the air without any wheels. I know where we're going, even though he doesn't tell me. A door opens before we get there, and Loretta Lee is standing in the light, and she's saying, Iggy, come look what the cat dragged in. He says, say hello to my boy, Loretta. Ain't he a chip off the old block? Then we're inside, and Iggy is there bolting the door behind us and closing the shades. And Loretta, she's wearing this real slinky red dress that looks like it might fall off if she sneezed. She's saying, mission accomplished. Hey, Kenny, I knew you could do it if anybody could. Iggy says, watch your mouth, Loretta. I do believe you've been drinking. My father says, he has been drinking. Has she been drinking, Iggy? I thought I made myself clear. Hey, it's Christmas Eve, Iggy says, and he sounds real nervous. A little punch, what can it hurt? A little punch, Loretta says. Her voice is all slurpy. That's all. She's wearing these fake eyelashes, and they're coming loose, and so her eyes look almost as blurry as her red mouth. I know because she keeps flapping her eyes at me and smiling, so I can see where the lipstick's got on her teeth. Iggy says, she's okay, Kenny. You got my word. All right, Loretta says. Turned over a new leaf, preacher came. Turned over a new leaf. So there's no booze for anybody on Christmas Eve, even in our own house where a man is his castle? Oh, shut it, Iggy says. And he makes Loretta sit down on the busted couch where she kind of leans over and waves at me. Wink, wink. Bring me and my boy some food, my father says. We've been out in the cold for 8 long years and we're hungry, aren't we, son? Yes, sir, I say. Iggy goes out into the kitchen to fry up some hamburgers, and we sit there waiting, not saying anything. Loretta is snuggled up on the couch, passed out with this dreamy look on her face. I eat that greasy hamburger even though I can hardly stand to swallow, and Iggy is fussing around like it's such a big deal having Kenny Kane in the house, and it's hard to believe he is the same Iggy who is the boss of the Panheads, this motorcycle gang that strikes fear into the hearts of everybody, including the cops. Then Loretta wakes up and stretches like a cat, yawning so you can practically see right down her throat. And she says, I guess I needed that. Then she giggles, hiding her mouth. I guess I need a lot of things. My father wipes his mouth with his folded up paper napkin, and he ignores her and looks at Iggy and says, you ever do time? You could be a cook. Iggy gives this nervous hee-hee-hee, like, wouldn't that be fun, being a cook in prison? He says, anytime you want, I'll show you the place I told you about. My father stands up. Now is good, he says. He looks right at me. Come on, boy.